The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Thursday, the 23rd of September, 2021, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And I'm going to start the show with a brief message about My Gateway Services. Skip the line. You can now request a search or certified copies of deeds and documents from the Registrar General's Department online. Visit mygateway.gov.bs to apply. This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Good morning. We're still in the aftermath of general election 2021. And so today's show is going to be another election recap show. Let me give you the text lines and the call-in lines. The text line is 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. And that's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. You can also call us at 323-6232. 325-4316 or 325-4259. There's lots to talk about today. In fact, I titled the show Building Cabinets and Other Technical and Vocational Lessons. Now that we have the full list of cabinet members and ministries, we could now delve in to a real discussion about the way forward. Really couldn't do it until we got to this point here, because a lot of it is just speculation. But before we start the show proper, I'm looking at today's papers, I'm looking at today's business section, and I see these two amazing articles that everybody should check out on page B2 and B3. The article on B3 is entitled Hundreds of Deserving Students to Benefit from Bahamas Maritime Cadet Corps Sponsorship. It's a very interesting article. I think I'm going to have a show about it, about what's in the article in particular. But when you look on page B2, what's even more fabulous is a headline that says, First American Female Cruise Ship Captain Meets Bahamian Cadets. Right? So here I was. Today we're going to talk a little bit about this amazing moment, historic, I imagine, compared to previous administrations, but we have five women in cabinet, and that's five out of seven, right? I didn't do the percentage. That's a big percent, and I'm a little impressed. We can talk about that. It doesn't stop there. So when I turn and look at this article that says, First American Female Cruise Ship Captain Meets Bahamian Cadets, and now I'm looking at all of the pictures, and I see all of the female cadets, all of the women in Maritime Cadet Corps who are doing big things, right? So it's not just at the political level that we need women to penetrate these male-dominated spaces, but it's at every level. And one way you do it is ensuring, first of all, that you provide a space for women to show up. I'm so glad that there are so many young women. Hopefully we see some older women too. I'm hoping there isn't an age limitation or restriction that prevents older Bahamian women from retooling, retraining, preparing themselves for a new dispensation, maybe a new career, traveling the seas. That's awesome, man. That is awesome. Also, another note before we start the show. This is a bit personal, but we can touch on it a bit more in our cabinet discussion. I just want to remind the RBPF, right, that if you want us to believe in and commit to, buy into, and participate in your slogan that the police are our friends, then what has to happen is the police have to start acting like they are friends. See, they already don't act like they are our employees. They don't act like they serve the public, that they serve the people, that they are here to solve problems or facilitate the resolution of conflict among peoples, right? So I just want to remind the RBPF this morning that we are your friends, but we can only be your friends if you act polite and friendly, as opposed to acting annoyed and put out that people would expect you to engage them. It's unfortunate that the vast majority of officers that I engage always seem as if they are on their way to save the Queen, Jesus, and the Prime Minister who drowning in a boat on Killarney Lake. You always seem as if the last thing on your agenda is to engage with citizens. It's frustrating trying to be a citizen that contributes to the development of their country. It's frustrating trying to do the right thing while watching others around you, particularly those who are in charge, not do the right thing. Now, when I say it's frustrating, here's what I mean. You could tell there's a lot of Bahamians out there that are tired with following the rules, knowing that other people with authority don't follow the rules. It's frustrating for many people committing themselves to doing the right thing while watching the people responsible for us not doing the right thing. And you could tell because drivers have stopped stopping at stop signs. They've stopped stopping at red lights. They've stopped respecting the right of way. They've stopped respecting pedestrians and sidewalks. And a part of it is because they watch police officers ignore these basic traffic infractions everywhere they go. We're going to talk about the role of the Ministry of National Security in a moment. We're going to get back to this. You see, now, when I say it's frustrating, right? It's not frustrating for me, you know. Because fortunately or unfortunately for me, I was raised in a family that didn't let me forget what the right thing was and that my obligation is to always do what I know I ought to do when I ought to do it, right? And that's not to say that I am a model citizen. It's just to say that it's not really frustrating doing the right thing, you know. That's not the part that's frustrating. It's not frustrating doing the right thing. That's easy. What's frustrating is doing the right thing every day and not being able to call out or to engage the people who are responsible in this town responsible for modifying behavior in traffic and otherwise. It's frustrating that every time you try to engage those people, they suggest to you that you should be doing the wrong thing. Or you should ignore them while they're doing the wrong thing. I ain't come here to start no fight with the RBPF or the police force. Gosh knows I can't. I'm still waiting for somebody to tell me whether my threat or the threat to my life warrants further investigation. See, I'm still waiting on that. So I ain't trying to pick no fight with nobody. I need you all to understand that. But we the people also need you to understand that it's frustrating being out here, being terrorized by people who refuse to obey the very basic of traffic and social controls. Terrorized on a daily basis. And when we turn to the police, just to make them aware of the problem, you know, we are treated as if we are the ones who are bothering and frustrating the police. That was a little note. Got a text here that says, great show as usual, Miss Green. 2 points I wanted to raise. One, I see the God King gave up power in leading the opposition. I would pay good money to hear how they got him to give up that power. And two, Prime Minister Brave have a large administration on his hands. Question, who paying all them people's salary? Because that's a lot of people. Another text, Miss Green, I bet you $10 in a bag of dilly, Minis. Cussed more than 8 times before he gave up power leading the opposition. Well, if he did, I respect his discernment and his doing it in private. That's all we could respect. People get upset. People get upset all the time. People run hot. They cuss. They fling up dirt from the ground and throw it into the heavens. But we just pray that they have the discernment, the presence of mind, the mindfulness, the critical thinking skills to do it in private and in a way that doesn't diminish their authority. I'm going to take this call before I get into my show. Caller, you on the clock.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Dua.
Good morning. How you do?
Yes, sir. Ms. Green, apparently our politicians don't, our governments don't obey the rules. You know, like the rules of the Westminster system that they say they practice. You know, we gussy up the cabinet. Last this Prime Minister gussy up the cabinet, and his excuse is he need all hands on deck. Like all hands have to be on deck and gussy the cabinet and nullify the legislative branch. You know, the United States don't, because of COVID and the crisis in 2008, the economic crisis, they didn't nullify the Congress and Senate, you know what I'm saying, and give all powers to the executive branch.
Right.
You see? So that's not an excuse.
Let me ask
you. That's the cabinet.
Let me ask you a question.
The thing is, people in the media, talk show hosts, they report the news and they ask them aggressive, but then they commentate in support of these people, of these atrocities made by these governments.
Well, pause for McCullough. Two things. It's a bit unfair to put that on the media, right? See, I'm an advocate. I'm a human rights advocate in the media. So my approach to this is slightly different from other people. I obviously have a bias, right? Like I have a bias in particular areas. And some reporters are attempting to bring you the news or to bring you public discourse or to create public discourse without necessarily infusing it with their own bias or perspective. I slightly different than that. But the second thing is this, the question I have for you. It is a heavy cabinet, right? Do you think, though, the inclusion of ministers of state is helpful to get some of the larger ministries or the ministries with a larger burden of work on their plate, whether it's because of the pandemic, like right now, or just inherently? You don't think that those ministers of state or junior ministers can be helpful in pushing along the agenda quickly in this urgent time?
Those MPs, ministers, MPs of the legislative branch, not the cabinet, so we
Caller, do me a favor. Caller, you breaking up. Do me a favor. Try call me back because the last part I couldn't hear at all. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, Ms. Grill, how you doing?
Good morning. How you do?
Everything's solid. I'm looking. I'm
nice. Sorry, say that again.
That buddy?
Yeah.
Who you was talking to just now?
Yeah.
Just how waves, man. See? He can't take it because he's one of them cornies from the FNM.
You mean the gentleman just now?
Yeah. He just can't take the fact that the PLP in and wouldn't give.
No, man, not the guy just now. I don't get the impression that, let me tell you why, though. Let me tell you why I don't get the impression that he's a FNM crony. Because before the switch in administration, even before we were heading to election, he has been critiquing the same issues across parties. And I find that his critique is actually more detrimental of the FNM policies. And the question is, will the PLP present a massive shift in policy perspective and political perspective, or are they just going to continue on with what the FNM have been doing?
Okay, but still, let me tell you something.
Okay.
He's so critical against the PLP.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
That he ain't given the PLP
enough chance.
Three months.
No.
You know what I mean? Enough chance to even get on with them. With the people business.
No, man. Look here, I think old soursop is blossoming, get ripe in 3 months. That's too much time. I agree with a little time. I agree with moderating critique. I agree that there's a difference in critique at the beginning of the administration than at the end of the administration. I think 3 months is too much. I got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron Green.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm great. Now, I guess in a first world country, the prime minister would, if you don't shame, you step down. Like some people are just shameless. Let's say Brent Brave made the 2% the decree. He gave me his talking point. Now the person asked the minister, where Terrence Bastion want to know who gives them millions to? He left office with Terrence Bastion knowing, not knowing.
You mean with the unfinished, with the
IRS, with the billions too?
You mean with the incomplete?
I can wait to read the house. OP gonna be there. Dennis gonna be there. And I hope the new young MP, let him talk for his party. Don't let him sit there like the last time. Every 4 years, they got tired of him sitting there hiding. So, minister, you better explain to the country where there are millions on contracts or wherever they, Terrence Bastion wants to know.
Hold on. You mean the Auditor General, yes. Right? The Auditor General report. The Auditor General's report had not been completed before the House was dissolved. That's what you're saying, right?
Yes.
Because plenty of people may not know who Terrence Bastion is.
The Auditor General.
Right. But here's the question. Doesn't cabinet, yeah. Hold on, pause. Doesn't cabinet secrecy prevent or allow ministers to not answer those questions?
No. That's public money. Public, but it's our money. You can't hide behind that. So, how we know about the contract with the woman gets from the hospital, that she is the beneficial owner. How we know that? How we know about the Ashman? They was paid into a company, but he's the beneficial owner.
So do you think? Hold on. Do you think the Public Accounts Commission Committee will operate any differently under this new administration?
The minister was controlling it as the leader of the opposition. But remember now, we're dealing with the Auditor General. He's the constitutional sitting. He deserves to have answers and papers bring to him.
All right. Thank you. I got it. I got another caller on the line. Thank you very much. And just for the audience, when the caller mentioned Terrence Bastian, he's talking about the Auditor General and the Auditor General's report that was tabled and sort of sitting on the table when the House was dissolved, with the question of, will the executive or the legislative identify the beneficial owners of companies that received funding from some loans? Wow. Thank you, caller. There's another caller on the clock, and get to this caller, and then we're going to go to some texts. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yes, Ms. Green, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Wonderful. Oh, I'm thanking God for every moment of the day.
Blessings.
You know, everything I asked him for, he gave it to me, even though it didn't happen in the time that I wanted.
Wow, blessings.
Everything. Everything. And I thank God for this new day. And I thank God for those callers who are disgruntled because of the new day. You see, it's people like them that cause me to appreciate this new day. We had a fight for this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it wasn't in favor for the poor from the other side. But God switched it because he defends the poor at all costs, and that's all time. The gentleman that's now that you were just student, whether he's a F&M disgruntled,
uh-huh.
and you didn't agree with the gentleman.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with the gentleman because
okay.
I've been on this show now for some 4 years.
All right.
And that gentleman's been bitter the whole time against the PLB. Even the PLB was not in office. He was bitter against them.
I got you.
You know?
All right. Now,
But to God be the glory. I wish Glenna Santa Martin the best there is.
Absolutely.
Okay? She's always been a stellar MP.
Absolutely. Now, let me say this. I wonder if, like me, He isn't disgruntled with the PLP. He's disappointed with the PLP, right? And that could come across as disgruntled. But I want to say this right now. Like I tell y'all, I intend on laying heavy critique on all these parties, right? But I must make note of this, that wherever I go, Bahamians are saying to me, listen, I'm not a PLP, but I put in my faith. I'm giving the PLP time to see where they go in. I'm looking forward to seeing what they have planned. People are saying, listen, I wouldn't necessarily have voted PLP, but here we are, and I'm willing to give them a chance, right? So I can be fair, and I'm going to say that people who wouldn't even necessarily align themselves with the PLP or with this new administration are willing to say, look, we looking for a way forward. We working with whoever is working. And I want to make that note and put that out there, that people are not saying that they're going to just join the PLP, but they are not even sitting with bated breath. They're waiting for the call. They're waiting to find out what is needed from them to make this administration work. I think the most important thing for the PLP and for PLP supporters to do now is to figure out, how do we shift the conversation to a more inclusive language? Do we make this a national movement? How does the PLP become the vehicle that brings everybody on board in a nonpartisan way? All right, callers, I need you to hold the line for me for a second. Let me get to two texts, and they're coming right to you. First text, I think they are picking a senior and a junior to train the next generation. I think that's a great idea, but more, I think it's about the size of the work. Another text. Wow. Texter. Are you going to hold that? Another text. Good morning. What is the size of the largest cabinet ever in the Bahamas? In the current cabinet, how many are not MPs? How many are unsuccessful candidates in the most recent general election? Is the MP for Seabreeze a cabinet minister? Should the government be labeled as PLP or F&M, or just the government or the cabinet? Look here, that's some fascinating questions. So let's get to it. I am not sure if it is the largest. I think it just beats the previous one by a couple. The MP for Seabreeze, Leslia Bryce, is not a cabinet minister. I think there may be a conflict of interest involved, but that's something I wanted to talk about as well. The benefits and the and the disadvantages of being in cabinet, and how many unsuccessful candidates in the most recent general elections. How many cabinet ministers? That's fascinating too. And I want to know about Vaughn Miller. I want to talk about Vaughn Miller's placement in the cabinet too. And what an important ministry, or maybe it's not as important as we would want it to be. A lot of fascinating questions. Let me get to these callers. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there? Good morning, caller. You still there, caller? I hear you. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes, sir. I'm back again. You asked me to call, right? I said no. I'm not a FNM, a PLP, a DNA, or either of them. I against the system. The issues I speak about is the system. You know, and if the PLP is the government in waiting, and they're not addressing these, they're not putting these issues in their referendum or their plan. You understand me? And how do I give a government a chance to fix the Gussie May cabinet after they have done the Gussie May? How are they going to fix the issue of the Gussie May cabinet? That's what I'm
okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you. Thank you for making that point. I don't have a problem with you calling back to express that to the other callers. And it's a good dialogue. People need to hear each other and people need to trust each other. Right. The second thing is this. I think they could come back, you know, the same way you could shuffle people. I think you could shift up your ministries, reshape them, change them, reform them. Take out one or two or mix them in with others. But I think that it's not as simple as just reducing the Gussie May cabinet. I think it's also a matter of making assessments in all of the ministries and in the public service as a whole, right? And some new style assessments as to how these silos could better be integrated with one another, because once you learn how to integrate the silos, then you could start reducing silos because you're really integrating the work. Oh boy. Okay, caller, you are on the clock. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Miss Green.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm pleased with the cabinet picked up in reference and with qualifications and apparent, being able to handle the job. And there's so many newbies to the table, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it would be in the government's best interest to have them work as a state minister. Some of them are there, like Mr. Vaughn Miller. I think he'd be excellent for the task that he's been given with the assistance. And what they have to do, they can't work in a bubble. They're going to have to reach out and work with the brightest and the best mind across this entire Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
You understand, to get the effect that they need.
Right.
I am hoping that because some of the picks, I don't know if you were kind of surprised, because you had some feelers going out yesterday in reference to who would be this and who would get this portfolio.
Yeah.
And they were, a lot of them were surprises, right?
Right.
So, but sometimes you have to wonder, what's the method to the madness? But it's because the AG,
and
that appointment.
But hold on, not even the method to the madness, It's great to understand why the change has been made, or what the premise is that the change is rooted in. For example, right? I have some questions about the composition of the Ministry of Agriculture and Marine Resources, right? And one of the questions is why wasn't natural resources placed with agriculture and marine resources, and Family Island Affairs placed as a separate ministry, or a ministry coupled with the Ministry of Grand Bahama, right? And so in there, it suggests to me that natural resources portfolio is being approached from the perspective of its economic value, right? And not its ecological an environmental value.
I think when they asked the prime prime minister in reference to why, because you notice the Ministry of Natural Disasters and...
Right, and...
it was dissolved. He went on to explain that. I think that's been under the environment.
Okay.
I think that's that. And the gentleman who is from... Hold on, McIntosh was his name. I think he's an engineer.
Right, the Minister of State for the Environment.
Right, so that would be the area where that would be dealt with.
Right, and
there's a lot of reshuffling and a lot of situations. But I'm going to read up more and find out more as to exactly what their responsibilities are.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have they have to get to work, and there's so much work that actually needs to be done.
Yes, ma'am.
And I really want them to look into getting a new medical facility.
Yes.
In place. And I think the reason why the Palmy Island situation was separated from, not put with the Ministry of Grand Bahama, Minister Ginger Moxey, congratulations to her, right?
Yeah.
Making making history, breaking that ceiling in Grand Bahama. But she needs, I think Grand Bahama needs a lot of attention. A lot of attention, and there's so much that needs to be done over there.
Yes, ma'am.
And I think that she needs to focus and help. Like I keep saying it, all hands on deck. And I would hope that this administration is going to work with persons from all across the political divide and the different sectors in this country.
Yes, ma'am.
That's the only way we're going to have to get this work done.
Mm-hmm.
In the right way. But thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. And thank you for sticking around and answering my question. I hope the other callers understand. So it seems like I'm cutting you off. I'm not cutting you off. I'm trying to bring you into a larger part of the conversation sometimes by asking you a question. I got a quick text here from one of my WhatsApp texters. The text says, this country is way too small for such a large cabinet. The country, in fact, is living above its means. If we broke, who's supposed to pay all of these exorbitant salaries? I think that's an important point that the government needs to be able to explain to people. How are we going to pay for all of this? And the lines of communication, it's not about proving, like, we the citizens and you have to answer to us. It's beneficial for governments to keep this line of communication open so people can actually understand what it is they're critiquing. So they could really get a sense of what it is they're looking at and whether the critique that they are applying is appropriate, relevant, or germane, or accurate. Caller, you're on the clock.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
Good morning. I'm good. Thank you.
Excellent, excellent. Good morning, my fellow Bahamians. Aaron,
yes,
other
sir.
Points, yeah, just like very quickly run over. Firstly, in terms of the Kasimi cabinet, I believe that as long as the persons that are in that occupies the seat of cabinet are actually going to put in the work. In some cases, they can work in silos, and in a whole lot of cases, they have to work collaboratively.
Yes,
I think in many cases, we have missed that opportunity where even through the silos or the collaborative efforts, we have not maximized what we are going to get out of them. There are some ministries that, and as the previous caller, previous to the one who just called, was talking about, I think we have to now look at our systems. How do we make our systems more efficient, whereas these different ministries can work together collaboratively to offer the services that is necessary, not just for the local market, but for those who are here internationally.
Yes.
Even with that, a lot of pitfalls are there. So we need to correct those. I have no problem with some ministries overlapping each other, because, in fact, those ministries should be doing that. I often talk, and I'll close with this one. I often talk about an umbrella, whereas, for instance, getting a business license. We should have all those entities that deal with business licenses all under one roof, one-stop shop, instead of running from here to go there to go to the next place and the next place. Put it all one place so a person can efficiently move from one office to the next office, to the next office, and by the time they finish with that, the whole process would have been completed, and then they could go on their merry way to get their businesses started.
Absolutely.
So there's a myriad of things that we have to do here. Yes, it's going to cost a little more to get it done, but the Bahamas right now, in terms of business and as well as where the economy is, we may need to spend a little more to get the systems designed in a way where they can become a lot more efficient than where they are today.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, caller. And to my next caller, until you hold the line, we got to go to a break. We will be right back. So stay tuned to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio.
Vaccine raffle. If you are vaccinated against COVID-19, you can enter to win amazing prizes like food store gift certificates, hotel stays, beach excursions, and so much more. Even if you are previously vaccinated, you can still enter to win. The COVID vaccine is free, safe, and protects you from severe COVID-19 infections. Don't delay. Get vaccinated today and enter to win. Visit www.vaxbahamas.com to register.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The 1, 2, 4, 2. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell Bella. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
What happened to you? You look like you lost your paycheck.
Man, I just realized I got scammed out of a bunch of money. They said I won this contest and just needed me to send them some money so I could collect. I mean, to expedite something. Or was it to smooth the process?
Man, you're smarter than that. Protect yourself against scams and fraud by following these tips. If you know you didn't enter a competition, you can't win. Never pay to receive a cash prize. If you're being asked, you're being scammed. Check trusted internet sites for verification of information given to you. Do not give your banking details to people you don't know. If it sounds too good to be true, it is. Monitor your bank account regularly for any questionable transactions. Get more information at GetMoneySmartBahamas.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. It's Thursday, the 23rd of September, 2021. I have a ton of text to read and I see you callers on the line and I got 3 pages of notes here. As I wanted to just make a note, I watch a bit of the small press interaction after the FNM meeting last night. I just want to confirm. I know it's all over the papers. Minnis said that he would stay on at least till party convention, which is in November, but no date has been set. And he says that he does not intend to run. That was in the best part of the press statements that were given that I witnessed as well. The best parts were this. It's a statement by Carl Kummer speaking about Minnis. So it's just before Minnis comes to the mic and he's referencing Minnis and he says, but Minnis pledges to work with the new leader, whoever he is. Loretta, where you is, Loretta? Cousin Loretta, they ain't talking about you. I wanted to say they's talking about you, but it appears as if they ain't talking about you. And then I want to know, anyway, if y'all saw who I saw in the background, which is not necessarily a bad thing, right? I just more focus on Carl and the statement. Minnis pledges to work with the new leader, whoever he is. Which leads me to a brief statement by Equality Bahamas on the, or addressing the women, the number of women in Parliament, and speaking specifically to women in Parliament. It says, quote, "We call on women in Parliament to recognize women and girls as their shared constituency," said Alicia Wallace, Director of Equality Bahamas. "A gender-sensitive approach is needed at all levels of governance. This includes engaging constituents, drafting legislation, developing policies, designing and executing programs and activities, and contributing to the national budget, and making," and I'm going to add this part in here, dot, 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 "and making national statements on behalf of your party." Loretta, they was talking and not talking about you. I just wanted to throw that in there. Caller, you are on the clock.
A pleasure. Good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning. How you do?
Right here. First of all, let me tell you something somebody told me a lot longer than the day of election. Mm-hmm. Miss Green, they said the Bahamian people, give them 6 months and they'll be complaining about whoever wins. I told them, give me the day after election and Bahamian will be complaining. They're complaining now.
You supposed to send them a voice note from 2 months ago from me.
Yeah, the cabinet, you know, me and you chatted over the weekend anyway. Yeah. But, you know, the Bahamian people are such. You wake up today, they're rowing with FNM. They wake up this morning, now they're rowing with PLP.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they always say, I'm pleased, black people. But, you know, suffer it to be so. We complaining today, and the man just formed his cabinet. They haven't had the first meeting yet.
I look at, and I tell you, I got 3 pages of notes.
But look, let me say something, because I know you got other callers and stuff like this. Let me say congratulations to the new Prime Minister, Mr. Philip Edward. We call him Brave from Kids Davis. Him, his party's victory, and his new cabinet. Secondly, let me congratulate my member for Garden Hills, Mr. Mario Keith Bolek.
Mm-hmm.
Let me also congratulate the hard-working people in his party in Garden Hills. Congratulations, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, Miss Green,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just found out Sparky has never got involved in politics the way I've done in this election. I made it a point to say this might be my first last time voting. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm 70 years old now. I've been voting PLP practically all my life. But I've never seen it get this dirty. Their personal friends that you grew up with got to the point where you couldn't even call them on their home phones no more. And they're serious no more because they were of a different persuasion.
Yeah.
I never thought it could get that dirty. You know, and I saw that happen with me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would like to admonish the Bahamian people, man, look here, this country in such a dire strait. We need to all get together, PLPs, FNMs, DNAs, UBPs, PPPs, whoever they are, and get our country together because if we don't, some foreigners could come in there and take it from us. Like Penland told us a long time ago, if you're not prepared to fight for your country, you don't deserve to have it.
Thank you, Sparky. Thank you, Sparky. And look here. You see that point that Sparky made about the political culture? That is the worst of us. That is the thing that we must reject. We can no longer tolerate. We cannot let partisan party politics tear us apart. I refuse to let it happen on my watch. Got one more caller, and then I got to get to the text line. I'm sure the texters are upset. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning.
Good morning. How you do?
Fine, thank you, and you.
Good, thank you.
I just wanted to address the resounding sentiment. We said we are campaigning on change, yet everyone keeps talking about experience. We have talented Bahamians that are all over the world that are young.
Mm-hmm.
Under 30, under 40, that are contributing to the success of international organizations. I think we really need to stop not looking at talent and allowing people to come in. You know, some of these persons that are elected for the first time, they had real jobs solving real problems. So
mm-hmm.
why can't we allow them to try and attempt to solve our country's problem? Why is it that they have to have experience? Like anyone who's really good at problem solving, you break it apart and you start from the basics and you figure out what needs to happen, who you need to negotiate with, what obstacles you need to eliminate. And I think we need to, if we're saying we want to approach it with a fresh set of eyes, don't only turn to the people who've been there already. Some of them are the problem. The politicians will change every election cycle, But the rest of the persons that remain in these government ministries, they're still the same people. So you need different skill sets, different experiences to come in and revamp that whole system. So I just hope we could have a more balanced conversation around talent versus experience in terms of dealing with the issues that we all need to come together and hopefully get addressed.
Thank you. What an awesome call. I don't know if you could hold on for a second because you may want to respond. So it's
I can.
Okay, it's a couple of things, right? For me, leading into this election, it was difficult to ascertain or to determine what experience new candidates had and how it applied or was relevant to the politics and governance because a couple of things. First of all, the snap election. It took parties a long time to ratify candidates. And I think that the way that campaigns were run, the campaigns relied more on affiliation with party versus highlighting the attributes of individual candidates fully, right? And so that's one reason why people sort of approach it from that perspective, because they feel like they haven't had enough time to learn about this individual. Now, here's a question for you. Do you think if we create a culture of appreciation for things like journals and guilds, where professionals are regularly documenting their work and the developments in their space as a method or as a means for people to learn about them? Do you think young professionals are interested and would commit to sort of participating in that way by ensuring that the industry that they're in has a journal where them and their fellow professionals are documenting what they're doing?
I think that's one approach, but I think that, again, when you focus on talent and skill, you could take someone who actually has talent and put them with someone that's overbearing or a micromanager, and their talent doesn't flourish. And then you take the same person and you put them, someone can document what they're doing, but like based on their experience, they still may not have had the opportunity to flourish. So I think that sometimes it has to be a more organic process where you do kind of mix the best of everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think ultimately the country benefits when we mix, we cross party lines, we look at experience, we look at talent, we look at skill, and we just focus. I think it's too much attention on the people and their titles and what you think you, because lots of people in different professions, they'll have a tons of years of experience, but that doesn't mean they actually have a great track record.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think so. Let's just move away from all of those personalities
and get a shift in culture.
Problems.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. That's why I'm excited to see what it is that Pia Glover Roll can bring to the Public Service Union. She's already indicated a passion about training. And I think it's a wonderful opportunity for civil service reform and for the people, most of all, for the people who are working in the civil service. But look here, I got a bunch of texts I got to read quickly. Text says, hopefully, thank you, caller. Text says, hopefully synergy was a factor of considerations in combining the substantive ministers with the state ministers. And I think the huge personalities will be challenging. So the person is saying that they hope that the decision makers thought about how people work together, because that could be a big problem. Another text says, it was a feeding frenzy of sorts on Minnis because of his style of governing, response to the media, etc. So any work done by the FNM was not enough and overlooked. In this country, we govern and judge and choose our leaders based on trivial characteristics, such as he's a people's person rather than qualifications and progress. Or answering the tough questions, like how are you going to cause or compel people to discipline themselves? Another text, hi, Aaron, do you know how much a parliamentary secretary is paid? Because the government is swearing in several of them this morning. You worried about that? I worried about who these people swore their allegiance to. I heard people swear allegiance to the queen, the crown, her heirs and successors, which is me, by the way, because the queen is my cousin. We can have another show on that. And I heard people swear allegiance to the cabinet and its members and its rules. I still haven't heard anybody swear allegiance to the Bahamian people. And I want to tell you all something, even though it's not in the script, you'd be surprised how many points you earn from the people who voted for you by making that note. Another text. Who are these people in the party machine responsible for choosing national disasters to hold our country in their pocket, and what are they getting out of their choices? I don't understand that text. I'm sorry. Another text says, who's going to address the Adrian Gibson affair? Another text says, I was trying to figure out what this Ministry of Natural Resources was, and I finally figured it out. It's the Ministry of Keeping Vaughn Miller Quiet. Wow, Texter, I had a whole section on that. That is my music. I'm going to try and squeeze in a couple more texts. Aaron, we need to know everybody how much money and how many people got government contracts, because that is the people's money and not a state secret. Even money that went to the states, the IRS wants to know. Ms. Green, I really want to see my country move forward with the New Day government. But as an economist, I am gravely concerned about the size of cabinet. Also concerned about rehiring old police officers. Another text quickly. It takes 19 seats to win the election, therefore having won by a landslide and having a cabinet greater than what is needed to win give the impression of more chiefs than Indians. A body of all head without proportionate other body parts is the picture presented. That's going to be the last text. I'm going to try to capture them to read tomorrow. Here's what I want to say. The biggest issue for the PLP moving forward is not a policy issue per se. It is the question of how will this administration cause and compel Bahamians, citizens, their colleagues, the civil service, the public service, the private sector, ordinary Bahamians, to discipline themselves and to encourage others to do the same. That will always be the biggest issue. Anyway, thank you for tuning in. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to continue the conversation. It's 11 a.m. That means Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas. And thank you to my producer, Kermit. Have a beautiful day.